Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hello.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we are your little elves for the evening.
Oh, that's nice.
Timeless elves of integrity.
The timeless elves who leave all the good slop heads toys. And hey, even some of the bad ones too.
Hey, I was thinking about timeless integrity, that which is true. Mm. But we also have sort of a contemporary cool, you know?
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, well, now what do you mean? Because I'm not seeing it right off the bat. What do you mean?
Huh? You're not?
I wasn't expecting a follow-up question.
I wasn't expecting any pushback on this.
No follow-ups.
Mike's really jumping down your throat. Jesus.
Well, I'm just... Wait, what did you call it? Modern cool?
We got timeless integrity, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But that doesn't necessarily sound like you're also cool and of the moment, right?
And you say we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Contemporary cutting edge.
Are you on board?
Contemporary state of the art.
That's good. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to call yourself cool. That's a little weird.
I'm just looking across state of the art. I'm looking at Tim's microphone holder, and I know it's held together with duct tape.
Duct tape for sure. Yeah.
Or maybe that's the new one. That could be the new one.
No, this one's broken. This one broke too, because I keep buying the cheapest one on Amazon over and over again.
You bought about 10 of those things.
And also, this microphone I bought when I was like 15 years old, and it was $200, so I really wanted to get my money's worth out of it. And at this point, it's recorded 160-something episodes.
At this point, it's paying you.
Yeah.
That's that microphone if you even like touch it. Some sharp sound comes into me and Jeff's earphones. It's like a dull sound, but it's so live. Or so loud.
You think that's painful, Mike? Why don't you try touching it with your wet lips like I do? Meow! It's a Christmas scorch.
Ooh, shit. I've done that before on stage. I've done that before at a Sloppy Boy show, and I'd be like, whoop! Wait a minute.
What is it about audio equipment? Like, I know, yeah. Hey, a lot of the stuff we deal with is electric. There's electricity coursing through it. Mm-hmm. But with mics and stuff, you really do get like zapped. And if you move your mic wrong, sometimes your computer will like shut down.
It's the difference. Oh, yeah. I looked this up. It's the difference between alpha waves and omega waves.
Alpha
waves.
I think I have an omega wave over here right now.
Yeah,
probably the
omega wave.
I'm looking at the cable, my microphone cable, and I see it's like when a snake swallows a rat. I see a big omega wave working its way through slowly.
Yeah, squeeze that in.
Ooh, it's going to be a good podcast. There's a nice big wave coming through.
Jeff, you make a good point, though. Like, if I were to touch my microphone cable now and it came unplugged, like, you wouldn't just be like, oh, we lost Tim's audio. It's like my Google Chrome would shut down.
Like, your neighborhood's lights turn off.
It's so stupid.
I know.
I always lose the browser, then the monitor closes down, and I'm just sitting outside somehow.
I'm not even willing to test this thing. I'm not willing even to touch it just now to see what happened, because it would stop the whole Zen. The Zen as in the Zen flow we have going here, but also the
our rapport is very Zen.
Yes, it would stop the whole flow.
But also the Zen caster that we record on, or we view each other on. I don't know how we record.
It's a very tenuous setup here at the Sloppy Boys LLC.
Yeah. Don't touch a cord.
Are you excited for Christmas?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
We're a festive pod.
Are either of you planning on having a blue Christmas? I was just talking about this recently. How funny, you know, Elvis, blue, that,
yeah,
that the song goes, like, originally, if you're looking at the sheet music, it's like, all have all. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, let me say this.
you know why you got away with that, don't you, Tim?
Oil's the king. How?
Yeah, he's the king, man. He makes the rules.
You're going to give notes?
King makes the rules.
Hey, I'm Priscilla's Prince Elvis.
Yeah. Yo, I'm Prince Elvis. Hoo yeah.
Phew, I'm friends with Baz Luhrmann.
And also,
Hal.
Al, what are you doing for Christmas?
Let me introduce you to a little guy named my manager, Colonel Tom Parker.
Yeah, some people think he treat me bad. Yeah, some people use my protector. Yeah.
Elvis, stop kicking and chopping. We got to iron out your relationship with your manager. No.
Now, where's Hal?
No, look out. Hal.
Hal.
Yep.
Well, we got a big show today. Should we get into some booze news?
Do we have a big show?
Oh, shit, it's stacked. Booze news. Bip, 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 bip. Hit it!
I don't need Kanger digging up our old fucking fossils and making $1 million.
Whoa!
Oh, nice.
Whoa!
Woo.
Some hot licks.
Yeah.
Damn.
Woohoo! Ooh.
Hmm. Oh.
Chef's Kiss was sent to us by King Kang, Eric Kang, the Kanger. And if you have a Booze News theme, email to the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com. Subscribe to our Patreon if you want to join the Discord and befriend slopheads like the Kang Man himself. And guys, wouldn't you say that a Sloppy Boys Patreon subscription is the perfect holiday gift?
Hey,
I would. Oh, imagine coming down, rubbing your eyes, coming down the steps and finding a Sloppy Boys Patreon subscription under the tree.
it's your phone. And then you just look at it and you're like, oh, I subscribed.
Where's my fucking, oh, it's under the tree. Okay.
Where's my phone?
Hey, good one, Kanger. No copyright issues. Setting a good example for all the young patrons.
Very nice. You know what else would be good around the holiday season? If you're already a patron, you might say to yourself, oh, I don't need to listen to these guys. Yes, you do need to listen to us. Go to the website, sloppyboys.com, and get a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a long sleeve shirt for your friends and family.
That gets good looking stuff.
They're good. They're good shirts on there. I've designed a few of them myself, and I got to say, those are pretty good.
Those things sell, man. The freak out shirt?
Yeah. Sure.
They Why sell like they? Fucking hot cakes. And I'll tell you, I was wearing one of those shirts the other day. I stepped on my front door. Hubba, hubba. Hey, come on. Then I take a turn down the block. Hey, baby. Yeah. Shake it for me, baby.
Hey, relax. Yeah.
I know I look great in my new Sloppy Boys shirt, but I'm just trying to walk to get my sous vide egg bites.
Bep it up.
Bep it up.
I wore my Sloppy Boys sweatshirt designed by Jeff's brother-in-law in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Prismatic.
And you know what everyone said to me?
What?
What do you wear that for? You should be wearing an Elvis or a Sinatra thing.
Oh, they're still stuck on that.
Or you too, at the very least. They're in the sphere, you know?
Yeah.
Elvis and Sinatra, and that's old hat to me.
Yeah, now it's the Sloppy Boys on the strip.
Now it's new sweatshirt.
New sweatshirt.
New sweatshirt. They could probably use a wash at this point.
Earl sweatshirt.
You got to put it on.
I heard Earl sweatshirt. That's good.
Yeah. Real good.
What's the actual booze news?
Well, let's get into the booze news, guys. I think everyone probably knows it's time for the Nog Report. Hit it. The Nog Report. Wow. What is up? Calpy K here with the Nog Report. I'm live on the scene at the Los Feliz Albertsons, nice. Sort of the town square of the Los Feliz scene.
Nice.
And I noticed something new this holiday season that we didn't used to have that's very exciting. Now, if you like boozy eggnog, remember in the past on the show, I had to go all the way out to Walmart to find Fireball Nog, and you had to add Fireball to it, or there was SoCo Nog, and you had to add SoCo to it.
Oh, shit.
And we discussed in the show that the one delicious boozy nog you could buy at liquor stores was Pennsylvania Dutch eggnog that had rum, whiskey, and cognac already blended into it, and it's delicious.
All of that?
Well, I walked down the beer aisle, get to a case at the end of the aisle, shelves here. Not only do they have Pennsylvania Dutch, but there's several varieties of Pennsylvania Dutch. Ooh. Chocolate, pumpkin spice, peppermint. Then Evan Williams, the whiskey brand, is getting in the game. They got a boozy nog.
Damn.
And a spice cider. But then Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey has also come out with their boozy eggnog. So, folks, this is an entire rack of boozy nogs that didn't exist last year. So, 2023, we're seeing a skyrocket in the boozy nog options. That's all for the Nog Report. Nog, nog. The Nog
Report. Ooh. Wow. That's great news.
Damn.
Have you seen it there, Jeff, at Albertsons? It's a huge, huge shelf. It's imposing.
No, I missed it. I was there today. How'd I miss this Nog shelf?
Oh, you're probably buried in your mobile.
There should be a stand with all the new boozy eggnogs that it's like from the Nog Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh.
As seen on the Nog Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and there's like a cardboard fat head of meat. fat head in more ways than one. Hey,
don't do that to yourself, Tim.
Tim, you have a thin head, Tim.
Yes. Tim, your head's thin. You know what I did see at Albertsons was those big plastic hollow candy canes filled with Fireball nips.
Oh, yes.
It was like, 2.5 feet tall, filled with nips.
Very nice. Very nice. That sounds good, Jeff. Or Tim. Fuck, what was I going to say? God bless it, I forgot.
Oh, and Jeff.
And Jeff. No, that's good, dude. I was referring more to the boozers, but yes, Jeff, that your statement was good too.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay.
And Jeff.
I recommend the Pennsylvania Dutch one, guys. It's very good if you like nog. And yeah, rum, cognac, and whiskey all swirled in there, but you don't want to put it on the rocks because it's thick and eggy.
Ooh, it's kind of rum chata season, isn't it?
Hey, yeah. Pennsylvania Dutch. It's not just Chris Van Artsdalen anymore.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
Our friend who's from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Poconos himself.
Director, editor, Van Arts. Oh, you know what we should say? What? We should say on the pod. Okay, Carly Rae Jepsen had a very popular song a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Call Me Maybe.
A couple years ago.
10 full years ago. We used to call Chris a lot of nicknames. One of them was Craby. Craby Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so our little parody was because Chris would edit and do the graphics for our videos and would do a lot of rendering. And we would say, I just met you. This is crazy. I made a render, so call me Craby.
I made a render. So call me Craby.
He was meeting people at a party.
I made a render. call me Craby.
Having to explain to a person what a render is.
I think that the creative types who listen to the pod.
Oh, yeah, the creative types.
They know.
I just mean, like, if he was in that situation at a party going up to someone who he had a crush on. He'd be like, I made a render, so call me Craby. And a render is when I need, I don't even know what it is.
Are you familiar with Adobe Premiere?
Do you have access to the render farm?
I was at recently with Chris at an immersive theater experience. Ooh. And there was one part, it was interactive. And at one part, so an actor gave Chris a piece of paper and a pen and said, write down your worst fear. And Chris wrote something down and crumpled it up. And then I leaned over, I said, what'd you write? The video won't render. Roasted that nerd. Gadoosh.
To take the guy, one guy in our group who was, you know, he really put it like we had a lot of like good videos because of his talents.
Yeah. Yeah, he works all night on something and you're like, thanks, nerd.
Thanks, nerd, to render fast enough for you. What, are you going to be late for work because you were up all night rendering this? Like,
it's not that he's an artist who uses those things for his craft. It's like he likes rendering.
He's like, ooh, I'll render that for you. I can throw it on my hard drive and render it.
Yeah, render it useless. I'm going to say that next time I see him. I'll render you useless.
You know what? If you ever meet someone from the Poconos, this is good for anybody out there. And I know we have some Pennsylvania listeners, so you might bop into those Poconos people. You say, if they say, oh, I'm from the Poconos, you say, yeah, I can tell with all the boogers on your fingers.
Yep.
Wait, you're giving the listeners instructions to harass and bully people?
To know, not to harass and bully.
Roast the ones you love.
To roast.
That's targeted
ones.
Harassment.
No.
Are the Poconos people? Oh, God. Take that off. I'm just getting it now, and we're going to remove this whole segment.
No, it stays in. You, sir, are a fool. What did you think? I don't understand what you thought.
I wasn't, Tim, when I turn the mic on, the brain turns off.
Yeah. Good. I got it from here, says the mouth.
Let me handle it.
Let me do the squawking. When I meet somebody from the Poconos, I always ask them about Mount Airy Lodge because it was a ski resort in the 90s. And in upstate New York, we used to get ads for it. And the song was, all you have to bring is your love of everything. Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. I think that they're saying like they have so many amenities and there's a lot to do. So bring your love of everything.
Ooh. Huh.
That's good. That's good.
Kind of want to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. It's one of those ones that had the, I feel like I've talked about it on the pod before because that it had the champagne glass bathtub in the commercial.
Oh, I've seen those pictures of this place.
Yeah. I did a little thing. I was so curious about it. I was like, where is this thing? Cause I saw a bunch of old catalog photos of it.
Yeah.
That's where it is, huh?
I used to go and I'd rent one of those rooms, get in that tub and crank off all weekend in that thing.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I
it's romantic.
Have never been to. It was a big thing in LA. Like people go to the Madonna Hotel.
Yeah, Madonna Inn.
Madonna Inn. And that has like the cave room and the palace room and stuff. And kind of, I never went, but it seemed fun.
Yeah, I never went. Tim, it sounds like you'd have been there.
Oh, I've been there a bunch. And yeah, sometimes
that sounds like one of those places you bring it up to. He's like, oh, yeah. We'd say this with the restaurants. Oh, yeah, I've been there. Did you try this? It's like, no, I didn't try that.
And you're like, shut the fuck up.
You did, though. How was it?
You pee on a rock wall, do you not?
Ew. Yeah, well, you do. Yeah, the restroom in the restaurant, you pee on a...
You pee on a rock.
But... What was funny about the Madonna Inn is if you book in advance, you're like,
I would hold on. Sorry, Tim. I would pay good money to pee on that guy. I wonder how much it would cost.
You're going to have to pay a lot. He makes $60 million a year. So I don't think he's going to let somebody pee on him for very little.
Hey, you don't know what he's into.
The Rock's got his pee price. What is it?
Rock, come on the show. Tell us your pee price.
Everyone has their urine quote.
Go ahead, Tim. I cut you off for that bout of frivolity.
Well, I was saying that, you know, every room at this hotel you speak of has a different theme. So if you're like, hey, I want to stay at the Caveman Rock room or whatever, and you book in advance, you get the room. You're like, if you book day of and you just kind of walk in, sometimes you get a room that's like, the Swiss room.
And you're like, yeah, not enough of a theme. All the good rooms are taken.
I guess it's sort of Swiss in here.
Because the comforter is filled with holes.
The cheese has holes in it.
Yes, I understand. But the equivalent of cheese, is it not a blanket in the bedroom? The cheese equivalent in the bedroom is a blanket. Should there be holes in the blanket, you're in the Swiss room.
Right. If the bed is a sandwich, the blanket's the cheese.
That's right. On top of the two pieces of bread. And you're on top of it, too.
That's how you make a sandwich. You lay two pieces of bread and top it with cheese.
How with cheese, and you get on it yourself when you're tired.
Dry bread on bread with a little something on top. Mike, I want to take it back. You said a bout of frivolity. Yeah,
sure.
Are you aware that
that made you laugh?
That got a good rise out of me. On Batman Forever, two unlikely co-stars had to share scenes together. Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yes.
Tommy Lee Jones was like new to comedy. I don't know if Men in Black had just happened or what, but he was Two-Face. Mm-hmm. And the two famously did not get along on set.
Jim Carrey and the... Wait, Two-Face, the two sides of Two-Face?
No, just the one actor playing the two sides.
I see.
And his quote with Jim Carrey was, "I cannot sanction your buffoonery." So people on set heard this, and so that's a quote that people say.
I wonder, was that like in a scene or like just
no? This is them fighting. Like Jim Carrey chews the scenery too much and goofs around too much.
Yeah, right.
I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Yeah, it's right. He's right to state his needs.
Remember that classic outtake blooper in Liar Liar when they're yelling in court and then his co-star is like, "Overactor," like objection, overacting or whatever. And then Jim Carrey laughs. I was like, that's pretty fucking mean. Like if you were acting in a scene and you're Jim Carrey, so you do overact and then your scene partner made a joke about you overacting, I would cry my little eyes out.
I think I wrote a sketch like this for the Birthday Boys that didn't get past like a first draft, but it was a guy who... like was hired on DVD extras to be like the blooper guy, and you'd see him, he'd show up in a bunch. But anyway, in that one, I think she immediately was like, "He told me to do it." And like,
oh,
it seemed like a set, fun set thing or something.
I did remember Carrie did laugh.
Right. But so even if it was the director or something, that's worse.
Yeah, that's true. Carrie did laugh though. I remember. I thought that was a very funny.
He's
outtake.
A good sport. I mean, he laughed his way to the bank, $20 million a picture, baby. Oh,
you know what I love is the Toy Story outtakes.
Right, because they don't need to do those.
Because you know they didn't shoot those things. They're holding a boom pole in front of Mr. Potato Head.
Well, we've talked about this. I've talked about it before till my throat is sore. The Alf bloopers.
Oh yeah. Those are so great.
Henson bloopers are funny, too. He's like, "Hey, does anyone want to tell... Does anyone want to tell Gonzo he misses fucking Q?"
They do that. I've said this before on the pod.
It's fun.
But the Muppets stay in character when they flub. They're like, "Pick that again, Piggy." I got a little bit of booze news. Here's a little segment.
Oh, yes. Oh, segment.
Oh. Classic segment.
Ooh. It's time for Dutton's Delights.
Welcome back to a recurring segment. Segment. This is Dutton's Delights.
I thought we were getting into a recorded piece.
No. Go ahead. This is me telling you about a little life hack that I found.
Ooh.
And it's going to come in handy during the Christmas season. A lot of gifts are exchanged. You know, a lot of people are going to find themselves with some new clothes. Maybe just a new shirt. You know, I myself got a couple new shirts lately. And I've been really taking advantage of this thing that we can all do. You ever buy a shirt and then you wear it? You go about your business, you have your little adventure, you come back. And then when you take it off, you're like, "Hey, this one's still good. This one's still going."
Never happened.
No, fresh from the store, you pop the tags, you wear it. Still good.
Still got it.
You put it on, you do another day or like maybe a half day, you go on out for a sandwich, you come back. Oh my God, this thing's still going. I get 3 days out of that t-shirt. This shirt I'm wearing right now, I haven't washed it yet.
Wow, and you for three days you've had this?
Yeah.
What color was it when you first got it?
Not like wearing it every day.
Sure.
But here's my theory, and I think this is right.
Yeah.
Clothing manufacturers, when they make them in the factory, they got to go on a truck or a boat or something like that. They go to a store and a bunch of people are going to try them on with their grubby hands and all that. And they don't want it to smell like that whole process.
So they're sealed.
I think they coat it in a fine mist of like microplastics or something.
You think they do or they do?
I think they do that.
Okay.
I don't know what the name of the chemical is, but you can only take advantage of it once. Once you wash it, Now you're stuck washing it after every wear.
I wouldn't know.
What I'm telling the folks at home is like, take advantage. When you get some new clothes, try and get 3 days out of it.
All right.
You guys don't haven't noticed this?
Jeff, I never wear a new thing. I always wash it first because I think it's a t-shirt is weird.
Well, Tim, you missed the window completely if you wash it immediately.
Now you gotta buy a new one.
Well, maybe I'm not necessarily just only have the goal of wearing it for 3 days. But here, but now I'll say this in favor of your theory, Jeff. I didn't notice it with shirts per se, but me and my friends used to like hold a lighter up to our socks, and you could. If you get like a tube sock, you could get a good flame go fizzies, up your sock. And that was something you could only do once with each sock. So there might be some sort of spray or coating to the textiles. Textile coater.
Yes.
Coat toter too.
Jeff, I want you to look into this and see what's going on. I sometimes don't wear like new underwear I won't wear or like new undershirts because I feel like they're itchy or something. Like if there is a chemical or something on them, Jeff, I like to... Or maybe they're just stiff, too. That could be it, too. I wash them just because they're
stiff. You mean to tell me you pop the tags and then wash them before you wear them?
No, not everything. No. I don't mean to say that.
I do.
Okay.
Wow.
Tim does that.
I always wash something. I buy it. I wash it on cold and tumble dry it. And I don't want a stiff off-the-rack shirt. The shoulders are all poking up. It's all big.
Tim, you want to lock in those vibrant colors with a cold wash,
right? And I also want the shirt to hug my body, my curves,
hug my curves.
Your curves, yeesh,
yeesh.
Ooh, Jeff, if I'm allowed to maybe pop something into your Dutton's Delights, I've got a Dutton's Delight as well. Uh-huh. The other day at work, we had our holiday party, and I had these cool pair of pants I wanted to wear. They were chocolate brown corduroys.
Now, did they start off chocolate brown or was that during the course of the night?
You're making fun of me because I shit my pants I shit my pants a lot. All the time. I sit down at a restaurant, I shit my pants. Then I eat.
Guy's a real log dropper.
No, the logs stay in place. I assure you, listener, the logs are staying quite as where they should be. In the toilet or my butt cheeks. So these pants, they're cool. They have this like embroidery thing on them and they're just too tight. So I brought them in and I said to the wardrobe people, I said, hey, do you guys have one of those fasteners, the things that gives you a little extra space, you know, on your belt?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we don't. I said, I don't believe that. They were also really busy. And
start yelling at them.
this guy I work with, he's like, well, try this. It's called a pants stretcher. If I could sort of describe it for you guys, it's like two half moon pieces of wood on either end of a.
Well, what are those supposed to represent?
Yin and yang.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I was picturing like two wooden butt cheeks. Sorry.
No, they're on. They're sort of almost like two D's facing each other. Can you understand that? Okay. You understand Dutton and Tim. Yeah, yeah. You have no D's in your name, so I don't know.
You got to over-explain it for him.
Yeah, I'm lost.
And then in between, you twist this bar, and it like makes the half moons go out wider and wider. So what you do, you put those in the waist of your thing, and you just keep twisting and twisting. And I did that all day. I'd go back to it and like twist it a little more and stretch it out a little more.
Like a torture device for your clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rack.
And I'm doing it right now with a pair of Carhartts, but I wet the band this time.
Now, are you not afraid the button's going to pop off?
Tim, I was terrified all day I'm doing this.
White knuckles.
You think to yourself, when's it going to just fucking pop?
Right.
It's called a cowboy pants stretcher.
Why isn't your waist naturally doing this when you wear the pants? Is that not what our waists do?
It is, but like to get it even like hooked around my waist, it takes a lot. Like I couldn't suck in enough to get this thing in.
Damn.
Like it's like my hip bones like wouldn't get over, so it needed that much. But I'm doing it right now to a pair of Carhartts, and it's called a cowboy a cowboy pants stretcher. So it's more for like
horseback riders,
dungarees and canvas pants and denim.
Oh, I could see it with jeans.
Denim
stretches.
You don't need to do this with pajama pants.
Denim.
Sorry about Venom.
Hey, that would be a good funny mashup. Denim for Venom.
Denim. Venom. That's it for my part of Dutton's Delights.
Yeah, and that's it for my Dutton's Delights. Tim, are we wrapped up for Booze News?
Wrap it up.
Damn. Was that part of a video game?
No. It's stock music with a little extra flavor from the Dutch.
A little extra honk honk. You know what I like about Booze News is we get out of it and we get in and get out of it the way they do in what was that Christopher Nolan movie with the spinning top?
Inception.
We've been incepted out of Booze News. Now we're back in the real world, and we need an architect, me, to design the next level.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm playing who's the architect in that? Was it DiCaprio?
No.
He's the main guy.
Yes?
No.
Is the architect the sleeping guy?
Elliot Page is the architect,
right.
I believe.
Right. Okay.
So, I will do that now. Today, we are revisiting a drink we've done before, and it's a drink, as a cocktail podcaster, you get the inevitable question, so what's your favorite cocktail been so far? And, you play, oh, geez, I like the Cosmo. You wouldn't think it. You know what was bad was the beef, whatever, beef shot, bull shot. And then I say, you know what really got us?
Yeah.
The Trinidad Sour.
Mike, I said this on Jordan Jesse Go just a week ago.
Just moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said that?
Yeah, they said like, well, what's the craziest drink? What's the best find? And I said, Trinidad Sour, make one for Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
And when people ask you that question, it's nice to have a good answer. Like, buckle up, because I'm going to blow your mind with the active ingredient.
Especially when people hear the bitters part of it, they go, what?
Mm-hmm. And then when they take that sip, oh, that's the prestige. That's the big final number.
Oh, yes. Speaking of Christopher Nolan again. So this is just real quickly, we've done this before, but the history of this little drink, it's a new drink. 2009. Yeah. Invented by Giuseppe Gonzalez at the Clover Club. And I just said on the latest episode with Neil, I was there with Neil and Fran, friends of the pod, friends in real life, which is nice. Because I have friends of the pod I'm not friends with in real life.
No.
Not you two. But anyway, made the Clover Club. I had one recently. It was delicious. It is Giuseppe Gonzalez took the idea from another drink called the Trinidad Especial, which is it uses pisco instead of rye. This drink's going to have rye in it and lime instead of lemon. Let me just tell you what's in it so we can move on. Oh, sure. Fuck. I should have
put it. Hey, we have pisco now. We could have done the old one.
I know. We do have pisco, don't we?
I have a bottle just sitting there.
Oh, let me. I have it on my phone. God, you got to cut. Milan, you got to cut out all this crap.
No, leave it. Leave it. I like seeing him get frustrated by his browser tabs.
He's bouncing from screen to screen. No, you're mad at your devices.
I'm going to start getting mad at you two. You knew I was introduced to the drink. Can't you just send me an email with the links I need?
I don't think it's not that you don't have the links, it's that you get confused in your tabs.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, I confused my tabs at the latest Grateful Dead show.
Stop.
All right, here's
guitar tabs.
No, I meant acid tabs.
Oh, shit. I'm such an innocent little musician.
Here we go, which I do not condone. That's not okay. We're talking cocktails. Here we go. This is the Trinidad Sour. 45 milliliters Angostura bitters. That's quite a lot of bitters.
What?
30 milliliters Orgeat syrup. 22.5 fresh Joies de Lemon.
Lemon juice.
15 milliliters rye whiskey. Pour all ingredients into a cocktail shaker. Shake well with ice. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Garnish is not applicable. So don't put garnish on it.
Don't you dare.
But yeah, Gonzalez. Oh, the other cool thing about this was a friend of his, let's see, John Gersten, co-founder of the award-winning Drink in Boston and ABV in San Francisco, kind of helped him move this one along.
Oh, yeah, because you can have a good product, but you got to move it down the chain, get it to the people.
Well, yeah, it started getting sold a drink in Boston.
Nice.
When we first did this drink on the show a few years ago, it really blew our mind because we also picked it off the IBA list. Not even, we were like, let's do a boring drink. And we didn't really look at the recipe. And then we were like getting the ingredients. You're like, what the fuck? And
I do remember that text was like, you were like, you guys saw, you made sure you saw it was like a lot of bitters in this, right?
This is weird. It's a high concept drink here because we didn't know that bitters are alcoholic. We always thought it was just a little tasty thing that you right. do. So it kind of blows your mind when you get to brag to someone and say, hey, you know, that bottle of bitters you got on your shelf, that's actually like 80 or 90 proof. And it blows people's minds. So mm-hmm. that's Giuseppe's innovation here. And I think it was maybe like part of a competition to use bitters or something like that. But he called it Trinidad Sour because Angostura bitters are made in Trinidad a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. I always wonder why. Maybe, well, there's rye whiskey in here and throws it off from just being a straight, like the obvious sour recipe, but mm-hmm. it could have just been called an Angostura sour and then you would know what you're making, but I guess you mm-hmm. wanted to give a little shout out to.
Well, I think that's what, this is the one that we kind of came up with the term pinging and panging around on in your mouth.
Oh yeah.
And that's what the different flavors go.
It's balanced and complex. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking it was like being amazed that we made it, right. it ourselves. Like it tastes like something you get at a good restaurant.
What a thrill when something is in your home, but it seems professional and you're like that. So I think we got all excited about it. And then we decided to make, we thought it tasted sort of holiday-ish because of the Angostura bitters loaded with flavors that struck us as holiday. And then we decided let's make it a holiday tradition. So we did this last Christmas, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Did we?
Last Christmas we skipped because we were together and we did mulled wine.
Oh yeah. Yes. Ooh,
yeah. But we did have the original Trinidad Sour episode. Then that Christmas we did the Trinidad Sour Christmas special. So this is rightfully could be called Trinidad Sour Christmas Special 2.
Yes. And nice. To make this the most special episode of all, I've got a little surprise for you guys.
Whoa.
You what?
Well.
It's not on the sheet.
Tim, let me talk to you off pod.
Mike, I'm not seeing this on the sheet, are you?
My sheet is all wet because I spilled a lot of Angostura bitters on it.
I says, Tim, this is becoming a tradition that we drink this cocktail, the Sloppy Boys, think of it as like a Christmassy tradition.
Jeez, I don't remember doing this two other times. I mean, I remember one other time, two times with this one.
Mike, you were drunk.
There was the Trinidad Sour episode. Then there was the Trinidad Sour Christmas special. And this is Trinidad Sour Christmas special too.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, I missed that second one.
Can I get to my fucking surprise?
Yeah. I just want to get that all squared away.
Is this good podcasting to be confused about our own episode guide?
And how it's going and what's coming next?
I'm sure there's people out there who are confused.
Yes. So, wow us, Tim. We're ready to be dazzled.
This year, I was like, I wonder if it's only us that think of it as a Christmas time. I wonder what the creator of this drink would think.
No.
Because, you know, we've become Instagram friends with Giuseppe Gonzalez. Uh-huh. So I DM'd the man himself.
Come on.
And I said, hey, Giuseppe, now this is coming from the Sloppy Boys account. Hey, Giuseppe, we've been drinking the Trinidad Sour every Christmas as a tradition. What do you think of it as a Christmas drink? When you invented it, did you intend it for any particular season? Pretty good, huh?
That's great.
Pretty good.
And then within maybe like an hour, I get this wonderful response from Giuseppe.
Oh, this is great.
He said, I never thought of it that way. I just wanted to see how shit works. I leave the deeper purpose to people that feel a different connection to it. So he's just the artist. Ooh. And he didn't want to imbue it with any meaning. He makes the thing that tastes good. And then he lets us add the context. And then I think I have a typo in my response. I said, ooh, ooh, damn good. Just ooh, damn good. I think I meant to say ooh, damn, that's a good response or something. But
ooh, damn, good.
I was at Albertson's doing the NOG report, and I just wrote ooh, damn good.
It's just in on the NOG report table. I got ooh, damn good.
I never thought of it that way. I just wanted to see how shit works. I leave the deeper purpose to people that feel a different connection to it.
I like
what
that.
What a cool. It reminds me of Jerry Garcia when you he was asked, like, what do you want your legacy to be? He's like, I don't care. And like, well, what do you have to be? He's like, well, I did what I do. I do what I do. I don't care if I'm remembered. That's not my thing.
That's cool.
Man. Yeah, Giuseppe seems like, I mean, he doesn't drink anymore, right? That's part of it.
I don't know.
Is that wrong?
I think it does sound like we heard that from some bartender or from about some bartender, but.
I think on his Instagram, he talks about sobriety and fitness, and he seems like he's a very got his shit together type of guy.
Was he the author, Tim, of that? I think it was a New Yorker something that you brought in that was like him ranking all the different pop drinks.
Cocktails that never mattered. It was a very angry list. And then, and at the end, he said the Trinidad Sour. He roasted himself. Well, because you roast the ones you love. So it was an act of self-love.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Well, hey, do we make Giuseppe proud? Do we go shake up some Trinidad Sours?
Yes, we do.
Yes. Do you guys all have orgeat, the almond syrup that is often used in Mai Tais?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
That's another weird thing to have in a sour, huh? Going orgeat instead of like a sour mix or simple.
He's broken all the rules. And guess what? It worked.
I like it. I like it.
I'm going to talk smart to you guys about the bitters when we get back. I've got an interesting idea for round two.
Oh, God.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. But for now, we're going to go make these drinks, folks. We'll see you right back here after the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Our bag!
Yay.
With the Trinidad Sour, the most staining drink on the pod. Popping that top off,
it's opaque.
It looks like a beef broth or something.
Man, popping the top off that thing just like sprays dark red in every direction.
Oh, of your Angostura?
Oh, yeah. I bit it off with my teeth.
Really? I've stained shirts. White shirts.
I've stained shirts. It's a thrill to pull that thing off. You're always dashing with the dasher, but pop it off and pour, baby.
Sips?
Yeah.
Sips.
Ooh.
Oh, velvet.
Hello, old friend.
Oh, there's the pinging and panging I know so well.
I nailed the recipe, too. I nailed it to the letter of the law.
Me, too. Except I didn't have rye, so I used bourbon.
Oh, that's good. Wild. Mm. Yeah, I didn't rye either.
It tastes like leather, huh? It tastes like a leather booth. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It does leave, it leaves a good, like, what's the way? I don't, well, there's got to be a term for this thing where you kind of have like
aftertaste.
Like, yeah, aftertaste, but like it's more of a breath. You know, it's not just like, oh, you can smell it on your breath. It's like, you can feel like it in your chest. Whew. You know me. I love a nice warming or cooling whole front chest feel.
Do you ever put Vicks VapoRub on your chest?
No, I don't like to cheat it. I like to get it the real way.
Naturally.
It's got to be natural, Tim.
Here's what I like. We all know the classic sour recipe is 2 ounces of liquor, 1 ounce of something sweet, 1 ounce of something sour. And mm-hmm. then usually with that 1 ounce of sweet and sour, to your personal taste, you could go a little bit less, a little bit more, how you like it. I feel like Giuseppe, perfect. It's not 2 ounces of Angostura. It's got, it's 1.5 ounce, and then you have the 1/2 ounce of rye to make it 2 ounces of liquor. Mm-hmm. But then the 1 ounce of orgeat, and then he dialed down the lemon a little bit to 3/4 of an ounce. And so mine is just absolutely perfect. It's not too sour, and it's just a velveteen
rabbit. Well, I'm proud as hell for you, of you too. Proud of you.
I'm proud of you. What's that? Is that a
Jerky Boys
thing? I'm very proud of you.
I forget what he's. One of the guys is talking to like a mechanic, and he's like, or a construction guy. He's like, "Yeah, we got flatbeds, and we got a." He's like, "Oh, you do? I'm very proud of you." Proud of someone you don't know.
Remember when great Bruce Hornsby was interviewed on Jam Bass about his time in the Grateful Dead? And they're like, "What was Jerry like?" And he was like, "Oh, Jerry's the best. He was so funny. Jerry's the one who turned me on to the Jerky Boys."
Oh, yeah.
And Jerry Garcia loved to listen to the Jerky Boys tapes. He's in the green room. Like, as if we all know, of course, Bruce Hornsby's a huge Jerky Boys fan.
Hornsby's a Jerky Boys head, but what, come on. Where'd he get it?
What could be funnier than like two? They were in their 40s at that point, and they were listening to prank calls and laughing.
Man, who's going to turn me on to the Jerky Boys? I'm still sort of like unschooled.
I've listened to the Jerky Boys in the past couple of years, and it does not age well.
Yeah, I bet.
Like the audio quality?
Yeah. Just as a kid hearing the guy like, "Yeah, how you doing there, rubber neck?"
Yeah, like, sure. Man, I used to love the WBCN DJ. We had Opie and Anthony. Did you guys have Opie and Anthony?
Yep.
We didn't have it where I was from, but yeah, we had they were Stern. Like,
I never listened, but I remember them being a big thing.
Yeah, they were like very misbehaving on the radio doing pranks. Mm-hmm. And like, I think they had some prank where they announced that the mayor was dead or something like that, and they got fired.
Yeah. I heard that they had like audio of two people like
having sex in
on Valentine's Day, going to a church. Yeah, going to a church and having sex or something.
I think they had sex in a confessional. Or
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. They better confess to the fornication.
Well, they had funny little prank call CDs, and my friends laughed and laughed, but I never got into the Jerky Boys. Jerky Boys had a movie too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it worth a damn?
I don't
so
know.
So good. It's so good. Imagine.
I remember when my friend and I, or at my friend's house, he was the first one to get Napster, and we downloaded something called Touchtone Terrorists. And it was like Jerky Boys. And it was just like, this guy had a really small little, I remember like old man voice that I thought was so funny. I was like, "Hey, what are you talking about?"
Oh, that's great. He sounds like the gopher from Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, did you guys call them crank calls growing up or just prank calls?
I called them prank calls.
Prank with a P. Yeah. It's so funny to me that like people.
Then the Yankers came along and started cranking them.
Well, yeah. My dad would say crank call, and I was like, you're crazy. And then
crazy old man.
Yeah. When Crank Yankers came on, I said, "Dad, I might be wrong about this whole thing.
Dad was right. Oh,
Dad was right.
Bo was right.
I can't believe it to be true. Oh, whoa. Angostura, I was going to say something about Angostura bitters is a good drink.
Oh, it's a good drink. Yeah.
Good drink. What was I going to say about a drink? Oh, I was going to say for my next round.
Oh, yeah.
I usually don't do second round. I haven't been doing it lately. First of all, this one's already half gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Half full.
Ooh.
And for the next one, I'm going to try orange bitters instead of Angostura bitters.
Michael.
Entirely different drink. That'll be interesting.
Very interesting. It's not, and it's not Angostura orange bitters. It's just.
No, it's just like orange bitters. Yeah.
What is it over there? Watkins orange bitters.
I was thinking for my next round, I'm going to not do the rye, just 2 ounces of bitters, and then I'm going to see what it's like on the rocks.
Fuck! All that, you're doing even more bitters, you're going to break the bitter barrier, man.
He broke the bitter barrier! What happened on episode 168?
They broke the bitter barrier.
Tim broke the bitter barrier, we didn't get him back.
You know what I would try if I had it? I don't know if I do. Subbing out the Angostura for Peychaud's.
Wild.
You know?
Peychaud's, yeah.
Because like orange is so orange.
I have it, but I don't want to kill 2 ounces of all these expensive bitters.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I for some reason, well, I know the exact reason. I didn't think I had orange bitters, and then so I bought a thing, and now I've got a big one and a small one.
Are you guys as annoyed as I am about how to bitters? It's like, is it plural? Is it singular? You say bitters are good. Bitters is good. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
We'll ask. Oh, that's the next thing you say to Giuseppe Gonzalez on your DM.
Yeah. Hey, is it plural? And he's like, yeah, it's plural. And I go, ooh, damn good.
Ooh, damn good.
Ooh, damn good.
Who is this guy?
Ooh, damn good.
Ooh, damn good.
Ooh, damn good.
Ooh, damn good.
Sorry, I'm focused on the Nog report.
You know what I almost did was I also have ginger bitters because I bought those. I couldn't find a certain bitter I needed for a drink here, and I remember getting ginger bitters. I don't even think I used them, but that would be a whole nother drink too, but I want to try the orange.
Now we have rhubarb bitters from the Lavender Haze.
Oh, I love rhubarb bitters.
Ooh. Oh, that's, you know what? That must be why I got these. Ginger bitters, because it was like, it's another crazy bitter, but I don't know.
Ooh, bitter boy.
I'm curious to see how these other bitters will swap in, because, I mean, they're very, very different. And, you know, they call bitters the salt and pepper of cocktails, but I feel like Angostura is more of a pepper, and some other ones are more of a salt. Like, it might be fascinating. This is so good. It's so velvety. It's so frothy. Maybe it's stupid to put it on the rocks. I don't know, but I stand by the Christmasiness. You could drink this all year round. It's definitely an evening a drink anytime.
This is a great Christmas drink.
I think a tray of these for your family and your cousin.
Yeah, start saving up so you can make a tray of these for your family.
It's true. It is a money sucker.
There's always that cousin whose his family went out of town for Christmas on a big trip, and he couldn't because he works at he's got his new finance job in New York City, and he really wants to put in all the hours, so he stays there until December 24th afternoon, and he's got to go somewhere, don't he?
Don't he?
Yeah. That's me with my parents every year about me. Hey, I got to go somewhere, don't I?
Yeah, you do have to go somewhere.
Let me inside. Let me open my gifts. You bought me gifts. You wrapped them. I see them. Let me inside to take them.
Let me in, you bitch.
Don't make me Grinch him like I did last year. It's nice to get in at night before and take him.
I'm a Grinch.
I'll do it.
I'll Grinch your whole family. Family's our family.
I got a little bit more to go before we do a second round. Mm-hmm. But I heard that Tim had like a song.
Ooh, yeah, Tim, you had a parody song you want to do, right? You should do that now.
We don't have to do it. I feel like we're running long. It doesn't matter.
Nah, come on. How about this? How about this? This is the Grinch, his heart growing two sizes too big. Me, the guy who wants to leave all the time, the pod, I say we extend it. And we
the
do
guy
this
who
song.
Openly yawns on the air.
Sure. And by the time he hits, we're done. Do it.
Okay. A little bit. I mean, I like doing parody songs, and around Christmas, it's always fun to like do a Christmas parody song, and you know, they can be really funny.
'Tis the season.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I got all excited about doing a, you know, something. I was coming up with ideas for Christmas parody songs, and you know, I wanted to make, you know me, I like clean comedy. I tend to work clean, and I wanted to make a kind of a nice, a funny song that with a little bit of class to it, that, you know, so we could all share a seasonal laugh.
Hold on. Tend to work clean. Is this a New Year's resolution? Because this guy talks about his sperm all the time.
Well, that's the anatomical word for the little swimmers that launch out my...
And hey, don't forget the turd talk.
Yeah, a lot of turd talk. That's more concerning.
But for this, he likes to work clean.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the tradition of doing a nice, like a Christmas parody song, that would be funny for the family or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that, I don't know. Just when I was thinking about doing it on the show, I was thinking about our listeners and they... I mean, you know, our listeners, they tend to be
all ages,
nasty boys. And
okay. Yeah. Nasty boys. Yeah.
Nasty boys, nasty gals. They're out
they
there.
Always, they like all they like all that nasty, filthy comedy. They're alt comedy, podcasty people. And they get all excited when you're, they really only laugh at the stuff that's
right.
Just filthy and nasty and all the,
and you know, we don't like that, but we'll stumble into that territory once in a while. And the reaction it gets from the listeners, it really makes you,
they love it.
You wish you didn't have to do that and sink that low, but you do sometimes.
Oh, I hate going low and then, but you know, if that's what I want to be a comedian in these times, and that's
you
got to
compete
well.
with, you know, you got all these celebrities. They could be, they could switch over to listen to Smartless or Ellie Kemper. Like,
exactly. The middle class podcasters are duking out here trying to make a living. So that is what I ended up doing. I kind of scrapped my other ideas and I kind of threw together kind of some, you know, the type of dirty, filthy, nasty comedy that our listeners think is so funny. And
wait, so this is going to be like a medley?
No, it's a song that I'm going to sing live now.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, fine, whatever. I hope you guys enjoy this. Here we go.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
It's a beautiful song.
It is the night of our dear Savior's cock.
Whoa!
Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and he had two big huge balls.
Timothy.
A thrill of cum. The weary world jacks off.
Tim.
Yonder breaks a new and glorious porn. Your knees.
Oh, they're loving this, I bet.
And while you're down there,
oh, God.
Give a blow job. Oh, night ass.
Oh, God.
Oh, night ass. Some type of foot or shit fetish.
I was won over by that in the end. The Christmas spirit got me.
Yeah, that's true. You can't shake the Christmas spirit out of that song.
Yeah, because you probably felt my warm heart behind it all. I was reluctantly saying all that filthy trash, but
the sentiment was still
the spirit
nice.
Of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tim, that was absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
And I think I liked it.
Ooh, that's the boy, man.
That's the boy, man.
You guys heard of gooning?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. What is that? Because I've seen that word before, but
apparently it's when you're masturbating and you're edging yourself to the point where you enter a goon like trance.
like trance.
Yes. You turn into a goon.
Yeah. But it's meditative. It's not like a selfish, you know, what's it called? It's Dionysian trance. It's supposed to be like a transcendental, like, oh, I'm fucking gooning, man. Okay. And so people will goon for hours on end, Mike.
Yeah, I've been doing it weeks.
And it's, they like that. Well, sometimes I'll be out in public and I'll see somebody kind of acting. I'll be at a bar or something. Someone's kind of like maybe too drunk or something. Like, hey, are you gooning, man?
Don't goon me, dude.
Don't goon me, man.
Goon. Oh, God. Well, hey, why don't we clean up the talk for one?
Yes.
And we'll go make a second round. And when we come back, we'll be good little church boys. And we'll give our final thoughts on a very good, balanced, complex cocktail.
Can I give my final thoughts now? I mean, come on.
What?
All right.
No.
I'll stick with tradition.
Yes, we stick with tradition here on the pod. Thank you.
Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition. Yeah. Tradition.
I've never seen Fiddler on the Roof, but everyone, it's Mookie's good. A huge fan.
Yeah.
That dude.
I got to see it. Is it the movie probably? There's probably one movie that's like the biggie.
The movie's great.
He knows all the musical stuff. He's like a low-key, you know,
low-key.
Like a Rodgers and Hammerstein guy or like a...
I know he likes Hammerstein. I've never heard him talk about Rodgers very much.
Oh, he hates Rodgers.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about this too recently, that if being a Asgardian trickster is the vibe, then Loki is low-key Loki'd.
You were thinking that recently.
Lately? That was a week ago.
Yeah, it's pretty... I mean, as far as the history of the universe goes, Jeff, it's... Not even a blink.
All right. Let's go take a break. And when we come back, let's take a break. They listen to the ads unless they subscribe to the Patreon. And then
listen to the ads, you idiots.
You fucking morons. You probably love that cock shit.
Yeah.
Tim says ass. They love it.
Yeah, they love it.
Then ask them on.
All right, let's clean it up.
Listen to the ads, you gooners.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now we're back with round two, Trinidad Sour.
You know what that... Go ahead. You know what that music sounds like to me?
What?
It's like a very cheaply made, and I know it's like, that's just like free music. Yeah. It's just like a cheaply made, like video game, like a Mickey Mouse teaches typing video game, or like a,
yes,
VeggieTales or something.
It gives me pangs of, I get really nostalgic for like Mr. Show when you hear music like that, because it's Evan Schletter is this great composer, but he was like, you know, working off his keyboard. So he had to like crank out these big sweeping scores with little cast.
Yeah, that just like smack of like, there's a little bit of MIDI, or, you know, it's a little rinky dink, but in a fun way.
It's like there's like a trill, like a to it. All right, go ahead, Jeff. You were asking us what we did differently.
Yeah, I just did more lemon juice, just barely 30 mil.
Oh.
I did no rye, all Angostura, 2 ounces of Angostura.
Oh, my God.
And I did it on the rocks. Look at that.
Ooh, that helps you fill out the glass.
Looks like a beet juice, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. I did regular Angus. No, I did regular measurements, but orange bitters.
Mike, you go first, man. I can't wait.
Oh, still cloudy.
Gave me sort of a peach looking thing.
Have you tried it yet? Is this a real first sip?
This is a real first sip.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
Wow.
Is orange bitters just as alcoholic as Angostura?
That's a good question. My bottle's way over there. Maybe I'll get it in a second. But it's like, it's very orangey tasting. Where, like, there's not as much pinging and panging, but.
Because it's bitter. I mean, all bitters are bitter, I guess, by like technical flavor profile. Like, you know, the coordinates on the tongue. But orange just tastes so different from Angostura bitters. Like, I have a bunch of Peychaud's. I was going to do the Peychaud's swap, but then I tasted some.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't even close to Angostura. It's funny that the two are sort of interchangeable as aromatic bitters. It's like, no, they're two very different tastes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good discovery, Mike.
It's interesting. If I were to tinker with this in the kitchen, I would do less of the orange bitters. Like, okay, 45 is too much for orange bitters, but it's...
Cut it with some whiskey like Giuseppe does.
Ooh.
Damn.
I'm going in, taking a sip of my full-fledged Angostura sour on the rocks, no whiskey. Pow! I shit my pants.
wait, that was just Angostura?
2 ounces of Angostura, no rye. Delicious, but yeah, a bit much. I think it was a smart move to roll back the Angostura. This, I can drink this because I'm a kind of a weirdo, but I would think that your common person would find this to be like you're just drinking something that's not really meant to be drank.
Yeah. For weirdos and gooners alike.
I did a little extra lemon and it tastes good. You know, it's a little brighter. It's sort of the opposite of what you did, Tim. You know, I think you could also dial up a little orgeat.
Did I put orgeat in this? I did.
Ooh, I hope so.
I did.
What kind of orgeat are you guys using? I'm using Trader Vic's, which is like a corn syrup, a very amaretto flavor. Are you guys using Fee Brothers, which has a little citrus tang to it?
Fees. I got a big bottle of Fees.
I forget. Mine, it's in the fridge now, but it's like very tiki-ish looking on the outside.
Yeah, it looks like it should be in the fridge. Mine's not.
I put it in the fridge. Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's so milky and sugary looking.
Yeah, where do you put milk?
Depends. I think Fee Brothers, I would put that one in the fridge. Trader Vic's, I don't. But I really like the nutty ones. There's some that are like very almondy, crunched up peanut butter.
If you like the nutty ones, you're going to love your two co-hosts, Tim.
Come on!
Some people say that to me disparagingly about the pod. They say, oh, I listen to your podcast. It's kind of nutty. What the
fuck? Fuck you!
I said, oh, you heard the... Orgeat episode. No. I think you guys, the three of you, are nuts.
Oh,
piss off.
Piss off.
I was in England.
Piss off.
Sod it.
Wanker.
Suck my knob.
Fool. You fool.
I live in a flat.
I'm in a flat with my knob.
Me and my knob share a flat.
Me and my...
I play with my knob when I'm in the loo.
But not the lorry. That's a truck.
Yeah, do they have their own word for gooning? I wonder.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Right, gooning.
Gooning. They just say it with a little twang. Me and my mates gone goon after work.
Oh, you're going to hit a transcendental meditative stage?
What? In England, gooning means eating soccer balls.
Oh, don't you call it football? Soccer balls means baseballs.
Oh, everything's weird over there.
The fucking weeds with you.
Yeah, you're the weeds with these English guys.
Yeah. Watch out for them.
Wait, do we do final thoughts?
No!
You know the final thoughts, Jeff.
Yeah, we love them.
Order again, order them. Forever, stone cold classic, favorite drink ever done on the pod as far as drink that I didn't know about that I came to know.
Yeah.
As a discovery.
And if you've ever, if you want to try the orange bitters thing, try it. It's very particular, but that's not bad.
Particular.
But Mike, you're opening up a whole new world of bitters-based drinks.
Bitters-based drinks. God, it would be so cool if we could get Giuseppe on this show.
Based.
That'd be so based.
Dude, bitters drinks are based.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. If you can't get enough, go to patreon.com, plunk down the $5, and double your pleasure every week. And don't forget the monthly bonus show, Questions for Lennon.
Whee!
Happy holidays, folks. Merry Christmas. Ring dong, ding dong.
Happy Honda days. Happy Honda days.
Ring dong to ringdo.
Happy holidays, y'all. We'll see you soon.
Peace, love, and frankincense and myrrh, baby.
Ooh, baby.